Rabbi Reuven Dohm.
Before anybody else says it, I'll say it myself. Anybody could speak on this week's Sedra. Weil steht, Vayiftach Hashem es pi'osin. So that sorts that one out. So Balak sends a delegation to Bilam, and Bilam tells him to stay overnight, and I'll communicate with Hashem, and I'll communicate back to you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the first time, Loi say lechemoyim, don't go with them, Lesoy Saom, don't curse the people, Ki Baruch Hu, because they are a blessed people. Fine, so no permission to go. And that's exactly what he conveyed to Balak, who then sent another delegation. Sorim Rabim Rechbodim Eile sent a more high-powered delegation. And what was the point in that? After all, he's already told them, I can't go. I'm not allowed to go. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, you hear what you want to hear. And you can kid yourself into hearing what you want to hear or into seeing what you want to see. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bilam, Lo yisei lechemohem, don't go with them, it depends where you put the stress and the intonation of your voice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to go. He didn't want him to go. But afterwards, in his mind, he wondered, well, what did Hashem really say to me? And maybe he meant, Lo yisei lech imohem, don't go with them, but with a more high-power delegation, not just the junior ministers, but the members of the cabinet, you know, the prime minister. If you send those people, things might change. You hear what you want to hear. And Reb Chaim brings the Gemara in Gittin about Reb Ilyish, who was captured, and he was in the same cell, was sharing the same cell as a goy. And what happened was, there was a bird fluttering outside the window. This goy claimed to understand the language of birds. Osa urva, so a raven came. The kokorelein was fluttering outside the window and twittering and maybe giving a message. Omale, so Rav Ilyish said to this goy, Maika oma, so what's the bird actually saying? Could you interpret for me? Omale, Ilyish barach, Ilyish barach. He said to him, Ilyish, flee, Ilyish, run away. You'll escape. He said, nah, you can't trust a raven. As Mashiach explains, we've had this problem already in the time of Noach. He's an untrustworthy messenger. Then came a yoino, a dove, the kokori. Omale, and he said the same thing to the goy. Maikom, or what? Is the message here? What's being said? Ilish barach, ilish barach. Ah, klal yisrael compared to a yoina, shma mino yisrach es nisha. Vaistois anes will happen. So he and the goy escaped, and he managed to get a ferry over the river, and the goy was captured and killed. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Gilian Ashas, brings from the Oruch, from here you see the Rav Ilish understood the language of birds. And he already brings that the Seidah Doiris says, actually, you see the opposite. Because if he understood the language of birds, he wouldn't need to ask the goy, please interpret for me. The trouble is, you hear what you want to hear. Altogether, why should Rav Ilish think that there is any message being said? And as the Marshal asks, so if you don't trust the Oyev, why are you going to trust the goy? So Rav Chaim, he actually wanted confirmation for something that he already heard. He did understand the language of birds, but it's not something which is always just a simple translation. It's an interpretation, intonation. Did I hear correctly? Or did I hear what I wanted to hear? Obviously, I want some sort of sign, a symbol that I'm going to be able to escape. So if I hear this, perhaps my mind is playing tricks with me. So he wanted confirmation. The first time he didn't trust it, and the second time he did. You hear what you want to hear. The way you say something, the way something is put makes a difference. So once explained the importance of punctuation, right? You explain it to children, teenagers, whoever. The importance of punctuation with this story, this is a true story. There was a person who wanted to get out of Russia. And because he wanted to get out of Russia, therefore, they trumped up some sort of charge, and the court where he was, a kangaroo court, decided he would be sent to a certain length of time in Siberia. And he took the unprecedented step of appealing. What does an appeal mean? It means that the lower court sends all the details to Moscow. You don't appear. The prosecution case is presented in Moscow, and the prosecution explains what the defence would have said. The result will be that the length of time that you serve will probably be increased, doubled, and that would be the normal procedure. But he took this step of appealing. And there he was in prison, wherever it was in Russia. And eventually, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, a telegram, in those days it was telegrams, a telegram came back from Moscow. And you know, from telegrams, you pay for everything, every letter, and if you've got a punctuation mark, that counts as a letter. So obviously it's not always 100% grammatical, but it conveys the point. And when the lower court received a reply from Moscow, from the Supreme Court, they were in shock. But they had to obey the instructions to release him. And they released him. And then, eventually, he made his way out of Russia. Because it said in the telegram, impossible to be sent to Siberia. But they discovered later, actually, they'd missed out an important punctuation mark, a full stop. Impossible to be sent to Siberia. So how you say something makes all the difference. Loi seilechim mohem, don't go with them. That's how he understood it, and he genuinely kidded himself when Hashem said it. Actually, if you think about it, already earlier we see this is the type of credentials that Bilam had. When they arrived on the scene, and he told them to stay overnight, Payem aleim, linu foi halailo, stay overnight, and I'll find a reply. And Rashi comments, if he will allow me, maybe he'll allow me to go with people of your ilk, I'll go. Shema ein kvoidoi l'siti laloch ela im sorim gedoili mikem. Efsha, he'll only allow me to go with a more high-powered delegation. And this was said before he heard anything from Hashem. No wonder when he heard from Hashem, Loi seilechi mohem, he then played it back in his mind. He didn't mean don't go, he meant don't go with them. And I thought about the contrast between a person who is Nogea Badova and when he's not Nogea Badova. Which we see actually here. The first time, he told them, I'm not in control of events. I have to do what Hashem tells me. Immediately, volok moloi beso kesev azov, whatever funds that volok offers me, even moloi beso kesev azov, loi uchol laves pi Hashem alakoi, I cannot transgress what Hashem says, lasuis ketana oi gedoila. To do something small, something big, I can't transgress. After the game was up, and Balak sent Bilam packing, because he three times he'd blessed the people instead of cursing them. Vayicha af Balak el Bilam, and Balak got annoyed, and he said to Bilam, I called you to curse, and you blessed them three times. Va'atzo, and now. Berach locho el mokoy mecho. Flee. Run away. Omalti kabeda chabedko. I said, I would honor you. Vinei menoch Hashem mikovered. But Hashem has prevented it. So Bilam said to Balak, I told you so. Loi ucholav es pi Hashem. I can't transgress the word of Hashem. Lasus toivo oiro libi. I can't do that which is good or that which is bad. He changes two things. He now says lavo espi Hashem. He no longer says Hashem alekoi. On that, Rashi makes a comment that he knew that Hashem didn't want him anymore. Yoda shenivus b'kodesh baruch hu v'nitrat. He knew he was persona non grata. He wasn't there as far as Hashem is concerned. Therefore, it's pasnish to say Hashem alekoi. The problem with that is he's reporting what he originally had said. And he originally had said Hashem alekoi. He's not reporting what the situation is now. Nevertheless, Rashi says it's inappropriate to say Hashem alekoi when that's no longer true. He also changes something else. Originally he said the jobs that I have to do, the tasks were katana oy gadoila. And now he says I cannot transgress lasus toivo oy ro'o. So what's changed? So I thought the difference is the difference between someone when he's negea badova and when he's not negea badova. It's quite clear Bilam's magnetic pull to kovoid, to momoin, kudos, gelt, he wanted to increase his coffers, and that coloured everything that happened to him. Even when he is confronted by a speech by an osoin, Rabbeinu Bachai says he doesn't flinch, because he's hell-bent, and that's a good word for Bilam, he's hell-bent on going and doing what he wants to do in order to get the Hano. When you look at it from that point of view, he thought, Hashem alekoi. He thought, Hashem is on my side. In fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Mi ho anoshim o eile imoch, who are the people who are with you? Lahatoisoi bo, Rashi says. It was to confuse and trick him. He should think there's not everything in Hashem's control. He doesn't know everything that goes on, and I can find a time when I can be machabin to curse, and Hashem's not looking, so to speak. And Hashem did allow him to go after all. He thought Hashem was on his side still, Hashem alekoi. And actually, because he was getting paid, it's merely a job. Things that I do to curse, sometimes it's katana, and sometimes it's gedolah. There's no right and wrong. It's expedience. What needs to be done? If I need to destroy a nation, it's for the good of the world, for the bad of the world. That's not the point. It's a big thing to do or a small thing to do. Big and small probably means it's more easy to do or more difficult to do. There's no rights and wrongs. It's what needs to be done. All in the back of my mind, I'm conscious of the fact I get a lot of hanor out of it. Having realized that he gets no covered out of this, Menoach Hashem mikovered, he now can re-examine what he said before and look at it in a completely different light. I thought he was Hashem Elokoi at the time. Actually, it was Hashem. It wasn't Elokoi at all. And I thought there was only such things in the world as Katana or Gedoila. But actually, I could see there's such a thing as Ro or Toiva, Toiva or Ro Milibi. You look at things differently when you're in a situation of neger b'kovod or not neger b'kovod. Maybe I've mentioned this before. I once went and bought two copies of the Jewish Tribune. Actually, I can mention it here. It was in Halpern's. So I bought two copies of the Jewish Tribune. Actually, I did that last week as well, but nobody commented. But I did it 2-3 years ago. I was in the queue and somebody said to me, taps me on the shoulder, why are you buying two copies of the Jewish Tribune? Now, I'd be clever to say I gave him repartee, I gave him an answer on the spot. I can't remember if I gave the answer on the spot or I thought of this later. You know, all the best things you think of later. So either way, this was my answer. You know why I buy two copies of the Jewish Tribune? It's a definition of a biased person. A biased person buys two copies of the Jewish Tribune because he likes to see both points of view. So you look at things the way you want to look at things. And we said when a person's negeir badova, it's different to when he's not negeir badova. This idea is brought already in Bereshis, when the Nochash pushed Chava against the tree. There's no Misa involved. Nothing will happen. In fact, you'll be like Hashem. Yotzer Olamos, he created the world that way. And you can be the same. So, give it a go. So, yes, Taka, there's no Misa involved, and why shouldn't I? Tavu hu le'edayim, it looked good. Nechbod the haskil, it's going to give me seichel. And with that, she took the fruit. And then, batiten gam le'isha imo vayoichol. She also gave to her husband to eat. You think this is chesed? Says Rashi, Shalei Thomas he, the Yichyahu v'Yisacheris. In case she dies, and he'll survive, and he'll live and marry somebody else. Oh, 1 minute. She's just eating from the Eitz Hadas because she knows the benefits. Nechbod lahaskil, tavo hileinayim. You're not going to die. She'd been pushed against a tree. Nothing had happened. So what's this sophic which has now crept into her mind? So the idea is brought, I can't remember who brings this, exactly that. When she was negeya badova, and she wanted to eat, and she was encouraged and enticed by the Yetzirah, by the Satan, then she looked at it as nothing will happen. In fact, I can only profit from this. Once she's eaten from it, the delectable fruits wasn't quite the same as it was before. Now there was a sophic. Efshu, it's not quite true anymore. And she looked at it in a completely different way. And there being a moshul or a story, I don't know if it's true or not. There was a king who amongst his advisors had a Jewish advisor who was a Novi, or Ruach HaKodesh. And this advisor would always tell him where to go and where not to go. If you go there, your troops will be ambushed. But if you go there, there's an element of surprise. You can surprise your enemies. And he used to advise him, v'chulu, v'chulu, this way, that way. And the other courtiers were rather put out. Actually, they were jolly jealous of him. And the king, not being a great Jew lover, but it was a benefit to have this Novi around, wasn't too difficult to persuade him that maybe this Jewish advisor is not quite what you think. So they hatched a plan, and they said to the king, Your Majesty, let's call this Jewish advisor. You want to know how long you're going to benefit from his assistance. So bring him here and ask him how long he's going to live. Now, if he tells you he's going to die sometime during that day, so we'll wait to the end of the day, and if he doesn't die, so we'll kill him as being a Novi Sheker. If he tells you that he's going to survive another 5 years, so we'll kill him, and that'll prove that it's not true. You know, like the old witches, you know, if they drowned, they were innocent, and if they didn't drown, then they were guilty, and then they drowned them, you know, or burnt them at the stake, or whatever. So that was the plan that they hatched. And the king didn't take too long. Yes, he went along with it. So, at a meeting, they were all there, everybody standing in the court, and the Jewish advisor was there as well. And the king said, in a loud voice for everybody to hear, just that point, he says, tell me, it's wonderful that I have you around, but I don't know how long I can rely on your assistance. Tell me, prophesy for me, when will you die? It's a funny sort of question. And as the Jewish advisor is looking around, he sees them all hanging around in glee, sort of clutching something on the left or right inside breast pocket, and he realized this is a conspiracy. It's a plot. He says, give me 2 minutes to think, and he davened to Hashem that he should get some sort of siyata dishmaya to answer the question. Well, said the king, what do you say? He says, Your Majesty, I haven't got an exact day to tell you. I can't tell you the day I die. But one thing I can tell you, the day I die, you die. So the courtiers said, right, shall we get him now? He says, hang on, not so fast, the king said. What's changed? Ah, he was Negea Badova. And when he's Negea Badova, now he became Negea Badova and he wasn't before. This is the opposite of what we say. A person looks at something the way he wishes to look at it. Geheles, it tells us, a chochom ein of beroishon. Chochom has got his eyes in his head. Anatomically, that's a bit of a problem. Where does everybody else have their eyes? So what does it mean, a chochom ein of beroishon? So Rashi Matsudas say the same thing in different words. Rashi says, roish means from the beginning. Chochom, his eyes can look and see from the beginning what will happen at the end. Hachochom meiroish, he sees what to do. It's not to do with his head. Roish means the beginning. He can see from the beginning what ought to be done. Matsuda says, a person understands why his eyes are further up in his head. Why are the eyes not in the stomach? Yeah, it would look funny. Yeah, but you can get used to anything. Yeah. So why are the eyes further up in the stomach? Right, okay, you've got me. Why are they further up in the head? Because you can see a panoramic view, a vista that you can't see further down. A chacham understands why we all have our eyes in our head, to look ahead, to look further. Further than what you just simply see. As we said before, a person sees what he wants to see. There are none so blind as will not see. Let's have a look at the Meraglim. The Meraglim interpreted, when they saw people dying like flies in the country, they interpreted that people were dying because survival of the fittest. And nobody can survive except the very few. You can't acclimatize to the land. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it in order they shouldn't notice them snooping around. When they came back and they'd gone at breakneck speed, a kafitzas ha'aretz. It only took them 40 days. Rashi explains that 40 days was not the length of time it should have taken for the length and breadth of the country. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu minimized their time in Eretz Yisrael to minimize the eventual punishment. If it would have been 80 days, then it would have been 80 years in Midbar. But you can understand there was a kafitzas ha'aretz, and they may have understood it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does agree with us. Ef Shataka, it's a good idea to stay in the Midbar. Kvitzas HaDerech, Hashem's helping us. You see what you want to see and you understand what you want to understand. You find with Korach. It bothered me when we say about Korach, he saw a vision, Shmuel HaNovi, Chof Dalad Mishmeres Leviya, all coming from him, and I should sit and do nothing about it. Einoi Hitosoi. His eye deceived him. His eye? He had two eyes. He wasn't like Bilam, who had only one eye. He had two eyes. So what's Pshat Einoi Hitosa? His eye. Let's say his eyes. A person doesn't always see things clearly because he's looking at very tunnel vision. Person's got two eyes. So you have two eyes, it gives you some sort of balance. You can see the right, you can see the left. When you have one, it's slightly blurred or different. You don't see from both or all angles. Einoi hitosei, his eye deceived him, not his eyes. And similarly, you talk about an ayin hara. Ayin hara is because if you look with one eye, you can always find fault with somebody somewhere. If you took an overall picture of a person, you might understand differently. But I'm focusing on a small area, highlighting the ro'or. That's ayin hora. Interesting, in Shema, shteit v'loi sosudu achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. It says, levavchem before einechem. Rashi brings that ha'ayin roye, v'halev choymet. First you see, and then the heart desires. But that's not the order of the posuk. Yes, you can explain Levavchem means Minus and Einechem is Nus, so they are not linked and it refers to different things. But actually, we are talking here, our Ayin Loya Balev Chaimid, we're putting it all as one package understanding of the phrase. So Ayin Loya and Lev Chaimid is a bit of a problem. But I think the answer simply is that the order becomes Ayin, Lev, and then Ayin again. The Ayin sees. And because the Ayin sees, the Lev is choymed to understand it the way it wants. And then you look at it again, and you look at it, and you've looked at it differently. Two people see the same thing, and they've looked at it differently. First the eye sees, and then levavchem, which will then colour how you look at it the second time. Your Ayin will see it the second time and give a different slant and explanation. And then we move on. So Hashem did allow Bilam to go. And as soon as he went, Vayicha af Hashem ki hoilechu. Hashem got angry that he went. Vayicha af Elokim ki hoilechu. And the question's asked, well, you allow him to go, so why should he be angry? And Rabbi Chana Vassman in Kuntros Divrei Seifim, which is in a Kovitz Yurim, brings a posuk. I think the posuk's in Yirmiyah. Uvonuis bomos habal. Klal Yisrael built bomos to Baal, lisroif espaneim ba'esh, to bring human sacrifice by burning their children, oilos labal. And then there are three expressions in the posuk. Asher lo tzivisi, I never commanded it. V'loi dibalti, I didn't speak about it. V'loi also al libi, and it never came into my heart. What do the three expressions mean? Targum Yoinusum says, loi tzivisi, loi pokadis bo'oroisoi. I never gave such a tzivui in the Torah they should do such a thing. And what's v'loi dibalti? Loi shalochis biyad avodai nevi'o. I didn't send my nevi'im to tell you to do this. And what's v'loi olsal libi? Loi ravo kodomoi. It's not what I want. Says Rabbi Chanan, there's such a thing as the letter of the law, and there's such a thing as the spirit of the law. Amol, we might keep the letter of the law, but have you necessarily kept the spirit of the law? Actually, Bilam, if he kept within the confines of what was allowed for him, what he could do, he wasn't interested what Hashem wanted. He said the expression, Loi uchol lavo es pi Hashem. What he commands me, I can't transgress. I'm not interested in the background, what Hashem really wants for me. Take a muscle. You could take a muscle of anybody, but it's easy with a child. A child that nags. Give me this, give me this, give me this. No, you didn't say please. Please give me this. No, I don't want to give it to you anyway, and it's not good for you. But eventually, sometimes, you give in. And the child takes it. Now, if the child's old enough, right, raised a child in age, you get annoyed. You took it, but you gave it to me. You know I didn't want you to, and I just wanted to keep you quiet, get you off my back. But you know very well that's not what I want. I am disappointed. Vayicha af Hashem ki hoilechu. Hashem was angry he went because he knew that Hashem didn't want him to. In fact, the Beis Yitzchok brings from the Beis Halevi, that the difference the first time and the second time, when Bilam said the first time, I can't transgress what Hashem tells me to do. And the second time he said to Balak, I told you so. Lo yuchol lavo. What's the difference between the two? He says there's two types of lo yuchol. I can't. Often people say I can't, they don't mean that. Now they might mean I can't be bothered. But actually I can't might mean like this. I'll give you money. A bet. I'll bet whether you will go up to the Prime Minister, the Queen or whatever, give them a slap. I can't do that. Well, £500? I just can't do that. Sorry, can't be done. Can't means I won't. It's not exactly de rigueur the thing to do. I'll give you £500 to lift up a wall. I can't do it. Lift up a bulldozer. I can't do it. Can't be done. There's a difference between the two. Because in the first case, it might be, if you raise the money, you raise the stakes, it might just be worth you doing what you don't want to, when you what you think is inappropriate. Might land you with a 5-year jail sentence, but it might be worth it for £100,000 or more. Well, everyone's got his price. So loy uchal means I don't want to because I don't think it's appropriate. In a second case, no matter how much money is offered, it won't change the facts. It can't be done. So when Balak heard Bilam say, I cannot transgress what Hashem says. Balak thought he meant, I can't because it's just not the thing to do. So he raised the stakes, and I will give you covered and as much money as you want. And he thought that would work. And when it didn't, and Balak got angry, Bilam says, but I told you so at the beginning. You misunderstood. Loi uchal. I mean that. It can't be done. But you didn't understand it that way. So what did Bilam mean? It can't be done. Because if it could, I would do it. But I can't transgress what Hashem wants. So if he allows me to go, let's go and see what happens. I know that's not what Hashem wants. It's pi Hashem. I'm just keeping within the letter of the law. He said, you can go. It's finished. If it's not the Rotzon Hashem, and you know it's not the Rotzon Hashem, there's something wrong. Interesting, as a sideline, there's such a thing as an asmachta. Asmachta in the sense that the Chachomim gave a halacha and hinged it and found the posuk. What's the purpose of finding a posuk? It's a siman adova. It's mechazik linyan. There's a ritva in Rosh Hashanah tezayin. And the Gemara talks about Malchus Zichreinus of Sheforos, as if Hashem is saying, Tamlichuni Aleichem, you should proclaim me as king, Zichreinechem, Lefonai, Latoiva, Ubameh, Bashefa, Goreshboch is doing the talking. So it's, you think, it's Midra Bodon, and it's an, we imagine, Ki'ilu Hashem is saying all this. Says the Ritva, anything which is an asmakta from a posuk, Heye HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoroi Lasus Kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, really, this is the appropriate thing to do. Ela Shaloi Kovu Choyva. It wasn't put as a choyva in the Torah. Umosu LaChachomim. It was given over to the Chachomim to decide. V'zed of a Borah Be'emes. This is the correct approach. Not like those who say it's simply a simon. The Torah never meant it. Shouldn't be said. So because the Sasea, that's not what Hashem wants, it's what the Chachomim want. It's what Hashem wants if the Chachomim put it into practice. And the Maharal says the same in Yevomos Chofalov. He explains there's such a thing as a guf hatoira, like a pri, like a fruit, and a shoimer. And the shoimer is the asmachtus. And that's also in the Torah. It's not as important as the pri, but it's the shoimer. But it shows what Hashem really wants. That's what Hashem really wants you to do. So Bilam understood, that's what Hashem wants me to do, but he didn't say I have to, or I don't have to, I'm doing what I want, even though he doesn't want it. And that's why Ve'yichav Hashem, Hashem was angry. If I can mention it, you know, we have this quite often. You have something which is in halacha, which is mutter, but you have to ask, is that what the purpose of the halacha is? What is it? Was it set up for that? And I leave each person to decide whether, as you come to the 3 weeks or any time in a year, when you say, that's mutter in halacha, that's also in halacha, but what was the purpose of creating that atmosphere? Sorry, the purpose of it was to create an atmosphere of understanding what the Churban HaBayis is, and therefore you have to also understand the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. We know there is a comparison given between Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma in Pirkei Avos and Bilam. Bilam said, whatever you give, Maloy Beis HaKesev HaZohov, he didn't offer Maloy Beis HaKesev, but I'm putting that in, says Bilam, I won't take it. Oh, you're greedy. You've mentioned Maloy Beis HaKesev. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kismu was on a journey, and somebody offered him Elef, and offered him Dinrei Zov, and he said, you can offer all the money in the world, which hadn't been mentioned. I'll only dwell in a Mokum Torah. So the question's asked, so he also mentioned something which wasn't offered, and he mentioned something which wasn't offered. Why criticize Bilam and don't criticize Rabbi Yosef ben Kismu? Actually, I don't understand the question, although there are a number of answers, because it depends who's doing the talking, how you understand it. A tzaddik says something, you understand it one way. A Bilam HaRosha says something, you understand it differently, particularly if he's got a track record regarding gelt, whatever it is. Let me just ask one thing. Rabbi Yosef ben Kismu says, I'll only dwell in a Mokum Torah. How did he know that the person in front of him didn't come from a Mokum Torah? Now, you could say, well, it's his demeanor. The way he's dressed, the way he talks, you can suss a person out, you can get the idea, it doesn't come from a Mokum Torah. If that would be the case, the Mishnah wouldn't mention all this. It must be, the key to the answer must be in the Mishnah itself. And the point is like this. Two points, very quickly. One is, I don't know what the going salary for a Rav is in Manchester. I'm not even going to mention, because obviously there are different figures for different positions, whatever it is. So if you want to offer somebody a job, and you give them a certain salary, you negotiate one thing or another, fine. If you offer them 3-4 times the going rate, there must be something wrong. Elef anofim dinrei zohov, Margolius, yeah, he's offering him an exorbitant sum. You should see through that's something exceptional, for an exceptional reason. For that alone, he realized that's a Mokum Torah. But there's another point. You know, the Ponovitch Rav used to collect money, and he used to talk. He used to talk, and he used to speak. When he gave droshes, that he needed gelt for his Mekoyma Satoira. And somebody came up to him once and says, you know, that's not how Rosh Yeshiva do it. They come, and they give a drosha. Yeah, and they give a drosha, and therefore makes the people understand he's here, coming around, he's a Rosh Hashiva, and then he goes collecting money. And you talk very directly, gelt. Zokta Ponovitch Rav, they say Torah, but they mean money. I say money, and I mean Torah. If you give a package deal, you're offering a Rav a position of Yosef ben Kismu. So you put into the situation, you say, you know, we have a nucleus of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, and people who are prepared to come to a shir, and there are opportunities for kiruv, etc., etc., and we'll obviously compensate you for the fact that you have to come and live out in Yene Egvelt, wherever that is, and we'll pay you. The whole focus of this person was money. Come and live, and we'll offer you a salary. If you think that Torah is simply about money, then it's not a Mokum Torah. And A Nido Ela Ba Mokum Torah.